a senior editor of Reader's Digest, Jeremy Greenfield. Yes, nicest places in America, selected based on kindness and civility. You don't hear that anymore. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we are trying to be civil and kind.
We want to make your list.
That's great to hear.
So let's talk about that. Number one, what did you base this on, this list?
So Reader's Digest, for 100 years, has been telling the stories of everyday Americans through their own voices.
Mm-hmm.
And when we looked around at what was going on in America over the past several years, we thought to ourselves, there's a lot of fighting. And we want to address that somehow, but we're not a political magazine, so how can we do that? So we did what we've always done. We went to our readers and we said, tell us your stories of kindness. And the first year we did this, we had no idea what we'd get back. We thought it might be tumbleweeds out there. But hundreds of people sent us their stories of doing right by their neighbors, by their friends, and welcoming strangers. And so we did it last year, and this year when we did it, we got nearly 1,100 nominations from all 50 states across the country of people raising their hands and saying, hey, look at what's going on in my community. People are being kind, and I want to talk about it.
Wow. Look at that. So do you have since they went out to all 50 states, and there's 50 nicest places in America on this list, does that mean that every state is represented, or do you have a state or two that aren't represented and other states having more than one town represented?
So there's a little quirk with this list. So every state is represented, but one place represents two states, and that's Texarkana represents Texas and Arkansas. It's a border town where even though they have all these built-in rivalries, they've learned to be one community and get along.
you know what I believe? I believe that the way the country is right now, all right, this is going to end. This is going to end. You certainly will be back doing what the Digest has always done. And we've got to get through this. And I think what's happening now, as far as you're concerned, I think this is the reason. I think the Reader's Digest is powerful, always will be, and always will be for America. That is just my opinion.
So,
I agree completely. I can't think of anything more American than the Reader's Digest. And, you know, the values that we're trying to put forward with Nicest Places in America, kindness, community, welcoming, treating neighbors with dignity and respect and civility and learning to get along, even if we don't always agree.
I agree with that. So let's get right into this list. Let's talk about what is or where is the nicest place in America, selected based on kindness and civility.
So at this point, we have our 49 finalists because we've got all 50 states, but remember, Texarkana is for Texas and Arkansas. And we selected these finalists using a really rigorous editorial process. We narrowed our 1,100 nominations down to 300, and then we made really tough decisions state by state. And now people can go to rd.com/nicest. That's RD as in Reader's Digest.com/nicest and read all the stories of all the places and all the amazing things happening there and vote on their favorite. July 21 is the last day of voting, and then we're going to get together with our judges and our editors, and we're going to make a really hard decision of which of these amazing places is going to be on the cover of the November issue of Reader's Digest.
Oh, I see. So this is interesting.
This is great.
Yeah, so you don't have you don't have the list already made. What you're looking for is to have listeners help determine what that countdown would be.
No, the list, we've got our 49, our 50 states, and each state has a nicest place. So, for instance, in Connecticut, it's the Clintonville Elementary School in North Haven, where the kids have done some amazing things to highlight students and teachers in their school who are doing really positive work. instead of maybe highlighting other kinds of heroes that are more traditionally talked about in their communities. And they also raise a lot of money for cancer research. But the vote will determine which of these 49 places, one in every state, is going to be elevated as the nicest place in America and will be on our cover. But we, when we chose these places, we chose them knowing that any one of them would be an amazing cover story.
Mm. You know, when somebody does something like this, and this says something more about the Reader's Digest, it's always been a tremendous piece of work. And people take it for granted sometimes, but I think what you are doing is just saying, look, this is where we are. This is what America is about. And this is the reason I think that you're going to have a huge, huge response.
Yeah, we've already had an incredible response. Last year, we had nearly 500 nominations. This year, we had nearly 1,100 nominations. So that's more than double.
Last year,
the response has already been incredible.
Last year, what was the number one town in America, or in place in America, I should say?
So the nicest place in America last year was actually a restaurant. Any kind of place you want to nominate is work. So, for instance, in Connecticut, it's a school. In other parts of the country, it's a YMCA. Some places, it's a neighborhood or a town. But last year, it's a restaurant. And this was chosen overwhelmingly by a vote by our readers across the country. It was Yassine's Falafel House in Knoxville, Tennessee. It was started by a refugee who came here from Syria and was given a chance by a local entrepreneur to start his own business. And he, as he reached for the American dream, he decided to become an engine of charity for everyone around him. So he hires other refugees. He hires convicted felons. There's a women's shelter across the street, and he hires people from the women's shelter. Also, whenever there's a tragedy in town, like a fire or a flood, the first place that people go to start gathering supplies and start helping out the community is Yassine's, because he's the one who, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning will wake up all of the people he knows and say, hey, there's an emergency nearby and we need to go help out. He's really an incredible guy, and Good Morning America, alongside of us, covered this story, and it was a wonderful moment. We got to bring him to New York, onto the stage at Good Morning America, and tell his story, which is truly inspiring, and hopefully it inspires other people to do the same kinds of charitable things in their community.
Sure. And how long has Reader's Digest been doing this competition?
So this is our third year doing it. And as I said, in the first year, we had no idea what we were going to get. But the response has been so overwhelming. People are hungry for these positive stories of building community and kindness that we decided to do it. And we're planning on doing it for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And you're right. You're spreading good news as opposed to all of the negativity that seems to monopolize our media and airwaves and publications. And by the way, how long has National Geographic been in publication?
Well, I'm not really sure how long National Geographic's been in publication, but Reader's Digest has been around since 1922.
So we'll be
celebrating our 100-year anniversary in several years.
Yes, I'm sorry, Reader's Digest. Thank you.
Oh, it's a great magazine. I love National Geographic.
Yes, no, I know. I'm looking at two different things here right now. I'm sorry. Yes, Reader's Digest.
Oh, it's all good.
Oh, wow. So Clintonville School, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
The elementary school.
A little bit about this story, but let me just tell you this. This is the kind of thing that makes you tear up when you hear this. Every year, the fifth graders at Clintonville in North Haven write an essay about someone they admire. And usually it's a parent or a prominent member of the community or a public figure. But last year, a student named Sammy wrote an essay about a classmate of his named Dante, who's a special needs student who has some cognitive conditions and has to use a cane. And he wrote that he's known him since preschool. He's one of his best friends. And when he sees Dante doing his work and living his life, he's proud of him because he never gives up. And one of the other students also wrote an essay about a health aide whose job it is to help Dante in class, saying that he notices how hard she works and how she never gives up. And nobody was telling these kids to do this. They just decided to do it on their own. And I just find that so incredibly inspiring, that the rising generation has this innate kindness built into them. It gives me an incredible hope for the future, and I think it should for everybody.
I agree with you. I agree with you. You know what's also really nice is that you don't use algorithms. You tell the stories of actual people who are choosing civility and kindness as a way of life.
And you know, yeah, if you absolutely. Did a national survey right now, if That's you right. did a national Thank survey, you would see that that is the leading vote, the kindness of people. That's what you would see. Because they're fed up with what's going on, and they want it the way it should be.
Being positive. Positivity. Yeah. Hey, listen.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much for your time, Jeremy. We really appreciate that. And what really, one time before you go, what's the where can people vote, and what is the website?
The website is rd.com/nicest. That's RD as in Reader's Digest .com/nicest. And more importantly than voting, read the stories, get inspired, get involved in your communities, and spread kindness.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Thank you so much for your time this morning.